Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Tom, even you can make that one, dude.
There you go.
Chuck, you save yourself $50,000.
Woof,
I willed that one out. I split my pants.
Dale Arnold.
If the negotiation falls apart, the blame goes to both sides. This sport cannot go dark for 18 months. Basically, refuse to get back on the field over economic reasons.
Rich Keith.
I didn't say they should have watched that movie. I said they accidentally did because it definitely veered off of sort of, oh, yeah, let's watch Avengers. Oh, yeah, let's watch these.
Logan's
and then, oh, my
incredible.
God.
Dale and Keith with Andy Hart.
That's a great freaking question, Dale.
On the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Been kind of fun on this Memorial Day Monday to watch Twitter and see what the response was to a live sporting event that we could watch yesterday. Actually, you had two choices. You could watch NASCAR or you could watch golf, sort of. You could see really good golf in some cases and some really bad golf in other cases. So let's start with this, Andy Hart. Rich is off this week. Let's start with this. Did you watch Tom Brady and Peyton Manning and Phil Mickelson and Tiger Woods yesterday?
I watched a good chunk of it, not wire to wire, a little more than half. And, well, first of all, before I give you my opinion, could I just give you, Ryan Hannibal is a golf guy here at the station.
Yeah.
He loves to golf. He does a golf podcast with Ben Charleston, produced the show earlier, Mutt's producer. And I just want to give you.
And Red Sox producer.
And Red Sox producer. I just want to give you the first couple paragraphs of the column that Ryan Hannibal wrote last night.
All right.
And it starts as thus.
Do we need music?
We probably could use a bed. Can you get me a bed? Something sappy. I don't want to give away what I'm about to read, but something sappy couldn't hurt.
Something sappy sort of gives it away.
So I'm going to say this. He entitles it, Sunday's charity golf match was exactly what sports world needed. Ryan Hannibal, WEEI.com. Thank you, Tiger Woods.
That sounds a little lean, mean, and bluesy, doesn't it?
Thank you, Tiger Woods, Phil Mickelson, Tom Brady, and Peyton Manning. Thank you, Brian Anderson, Charles Barkley, Trevor Immelman, Justin Thomas, and Amanda Baglionis. Thank you to all the Turner Sports producers, cameramen, editors, etc. On Sunday afternoon, after three long months, sports were finally back, and it was spectacular. Dale, thoughts?
Maybe a little a little more flowery than I might have been. As I said, and I was kind of live tweeting from time to time as I was watching it. And at one point, it sort of felt like if TNT sent a camera crew to follow me around playing a Saturday afternoon at Cape Arundel. Because that's what Tom Brady's game looked like.
Yes.
I mean, what I would be doing out there.
He took the etch-a-sketch approach to golf, where it's one line this way, and then back this way, and then back this way. And I think in some degrees, people took joy in that. I could say I did, because he golfs like I do. And every once in a while.
Much of the day he did.
Once in a while, it's, you know, nice to see this guy who seemingly from afar leads a perfect life where everything goes right, and he wins, and he succeeds in business, and he's good-looking, he's tall, and has the world by the old cojones. It's nice to see him struggle a little bit.
And is it fair to say that Peyton Manning had a better golf game than Tom Brady showed yesterday?
Oh, I think that's...
Peyton Manning was pretty good.
The understatement. He was very good. Now, I give Tom
for
the
an amateur,
out.
Obviously, I'm not. He's not Phil Mickelson, Tiger Woods.
No.
But he was, you know, for an amateur, he looked pretty good.
One quarterback is retired and has been retired and probably golfs. The other, as he said, is focused on football and winning a Super Bowl. Still.
I thought about it as I was watching yesterday, and you've probably played in some of these charity scramble tournaments. And, you know, no matter how good or bad a golfer you are, if you go out in a scramble and you hit a couple of shots over the course of the day, you kind of help your team.
Right.
And I felt like Tom Brady was playing in a scramble. He hit two good shots.
Right.
He had the chip in and he had the putt. He hit two good shots. It didn't quite help his team win, but that's how I felt at the end of a scramble sometimes, where, you know what, at least I contributed something.
No question. And it's, I mean, that's, if you're a questionable golfer at best, you almost always have one shot that you feel good about over 18 holes. And that's what Tom Brady was. And I will say he took it a step further, playing the role of Andy Hart. Sulk, frown, sulk. Ooh, good shot. I'm going to talk some smack.
I got to be honest. I'm going to take him off the hook a little bit, because I'm fairly certain he was beset by some technical issues early on. So I don't think he was sulk, quiet. Yeah, I know. I don't think he was sulk, quiet when he was spraying it. Because he was still spraying it when they got his mic fixed, and he was actually kind of funny at times.
He was, but he also, there were also a few other times where I couldn't tell right after he would put one on a cart path or somewhere, and the audio would go out, and I wasn't sure if they were taking the audio out because maybe he was mumbling something under his breath that wasn't allowed to be on TV.
Oh,
or,
I think they were taking his audio out on a couple of occasions because he was saying some stuff that he can't say online.
Well, I really wasn't quite sure, because with the rain, and as you said, early on they had some issues, I think, with wet mics or mics, you know. At one point he complained, I think Tiger complained, that they were getting like static mid-backswing.
Phil Mickelson had said in the middle of his backswing, his earpiece was going off.
And even on Brady, when he holed it, His like IFB fell off. He was grabbing on his backswing. He had to grab the battery pack. They had some technical issues. I just said to Scheim off air, the guy that I'd like to talk to, and I think the guy who was probably sleeping in today and then drinking a little bit tonight, is the director who had to organize. Goodness. I can't even imagine, with all these live mics, wireless mics, parabolic mics, cameramen, Zoom calls. This mic's not working, so don't throw to that where you were about to throw to the. He earned his keep yesterday afternoon.
Now, if I were a Patriots hater, obviously living where we live and doing what we do, we're not. But we know that there's a lot of them out there.
Yep.
And as it happened, as I watched it, I thought, Tom Brady cheated. He did.
Uh-oh.
And
again?
Even Trevor Immelman said at one point, he said, yeah, I don't know what ball he's playing, but that's not the shot that, I mean.
There was a couple of those.
He had put it off into the willy wags somewhere.
And then they
and
come back.
All of a sudden, he's standing over the ball, and I'm going, there is no way that golf ball was there.
No question. So true. And they did subtly mention it, because it was. It was like a cutaway, because.
Because they know that the golf, you know, nuts at home who call CBS and say, I saw him ground a club in the sand trap on that hole, you know.
Right.
Those guys, you just know they were saying, there is no way he's hitting five. He's hitting eight on this ball.
Right. And then they even questioned him. They did an close-up of him sort of counting, and they weren't sure whether he was trying to count his own shots or if he was trying to call into question maybe what Peyton was doing, as he was doing the old one, two, over there to three. That part was sort of entertaining to me, to see world-class athletes. I mean, this is a guy who was criticized because early in his career he used to play golf regularly with the current president of the United States, right? And I mean, he's played the best courses in the world with some of the most famous people on the planet, including professional golfers. And we learn he doesn't really know what he's doing. Like, how many times did he say, so where do I drop it? How many clubs? And like, you get your driver and then flip it twice, and you can drop it here and you can do this. Like, and even the officials, there was a couple of times. One time the official goes, I don't know, drop it here or there. Which lie is better for you? Just drop it somewhere. And the official's like,
we got to go. Let's keep moving. Let's go.
And this is for charity, just so you know. This isn't the Masters. There's no one's going to call in and take your green jacket away. So there were certainly aspects of it that I found very entertaining. I will say, I think they did a nice job putting together some personalities, because Brady was probably, I don't know, the sixth best personality on the broadcast, somewhere down there.
Yeah, Justin Thomas.
Tremendous.
Really impressed me.
He was tremendous.
Charles
Barkley,
of course, is always going to be. I'll also say this. The guy who I thought was helped the most by, I did watch start to finish yesterday.
Yep.
The guy who was helped the most by it was Tiger Woods.
Yes.
You never see Tiger Woods. Every time you see him in a tournament, you know, he is that stone cold killer and that scowling face. And, you know, he was a guy who was funny. He was engaging.
You know who I thought he was? Bill Belichick. Because you're right. You don't think of Tiger's personality or any, you know, that I was going to say that Brady fell behind
like
Tiger.
Phil, you know, is right. Funny and engaging. But I mean, he always is.
That one comment where he said, I think it was a Brady tee shot, might have been Peyton.
Even you can make that one, dude.
He said, that'll play. That's on the fairway. fairway of seven, but and he did it so Belichickian dryly, like you almost missed that there was a joke in there unless you were really following along. And I thought he had some of that and some of the inner there were a few layers of the joking. There was the joking with the amateurs, the two quarterbacks, and then there were certainly some more high-level golf barbs between Phil and Tiger going back and forth about gimmies and this and hit my ball. And
I like the one where Phil is talking on the tee and Tiger sort of looks at the camera and he says, and ladies and gentlemen, this is what it sounds like every time
right.
I play with him.
You know, so I thought Tiger, if you're talking about who did themselves a service in terms of maybe personality and 'cause this was watched by not just golf fans, by casual fans, I think there were probably some casual fans like, hey, maybe Tiger's not quite the hard-o dink that
well,
I think he is.
I'll be fascinated when we get the TV numbers because I got to think that they did a really good number with this. And if I think Tiger got helped the most, the second most was Peyton Manning.
Yes.
Oh, who was funny.
The first thing I thought of after you watch this, I don't know how you would do it, but if you put together Peyton Manning and Charles Barkley, hilarity ensues. There's a show. I don't know what you would do, golf, sports, basketball, but those two personality-wise, and I know everybody says, oh, Peyton's scripted, he's the commercial guy. Remember they did the Zoom call and they were ripping him for having the scripted. Well, did he script 18 holes? And did he memorize a script for a full 18 holes? Because it certainly seemed like it was him. It was natural. And I thought he crossed it a couple times with the, even Brady said the cheap shot about, I could have brought Eli, maybe
Nick Foles.
And Brady in the background, some cheap shot. Right?
And I loved it.
Right.
Good for you. That's what friends do when they're out golfing. They bust each other's chops. You know, they swear a lot, and TV had to clean that up.
Yes.
Pretty good putt, considering the crowd noise.
Yeah. I mean, he was funny. Tiger was the guy who I thought got helped the most.
Yep.
Peyton was second. Phil is Phil. And I've told this story in the past, but, you know, they play the TPC down here at Norton. It's usually Labor Day weekend. And a friend of mine was up there watching, and I don't know if it was just a practice round or if it was the pro-am round, and was at some green with, you know, probably a couple of thousand other people for all I know, but they're watching Phil play. And Phil is bantering and funny and, you know, engaging with people all around, and he putts out at the green, and then he says to everybody who's around the green, come on, let's go over to the concession stand. And he takes everybody up to the concession stand, and he says, whatever they want, it's on me, and he hands the guy his black card or something, and buys concessions for everybody who's hit the green that hole that day. That's who Phil Mickelson is.
Yeah, he's got a little bit of the life of the party nature to him, no question. The one thing I will tell you I won't ever do is ask him how to read a putt or read a shot. That one, or it was relatively early on where he went.
Where he's going in with Justin Thomas, and he's giving him chapter and verse.
Oh, my. And Barkley goes, Mickelson's the guy who you ask him a simple question. He's the smartest guy in the room, so he gives you the long answer. I didn't want the long answer.
And then he did exactly what he described.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't doubt him. I was just thinking, I don't know if all the casual fans need you to go quite as in-depth. And then the flip side of that was I thought Tiger and Peyton sort of hit their stride. Peyton would say, you know, how do you read this? And Tiger would say, a little bit left. And then they had that, you know, 105, 90, how hard you're supposed to hit it, which I didn't completely understand. I'm not sure.
I didn't either.
How do I hit it harder than 100%? If I hit it 100%, isn't that as much as I can? Is Yogi Berra giving me advice here?
I'll say this. If I were going to, you know, go out on a Saturday afternoon, again, go up to Cape Arundel and play, I'd want to play with Peyton. He doesn't mess around.
Nope.
It is grip it and rip it and let's go. We got another shot to hit here. I mean, he's not sitting there reading the putt from nine different angles. He's not standing over the shot in the fairway, waggling the club back and forth like Sergio Garcia. It's, okay, here's the shot. Here's the club. Let's go.
To be fair, he was playing well. I tend to play more like that when I'm playing well, too. Let's keep this rolling. Don't know how long this is going to last. Let's keep it rolling while the cameras are on me.
I wondered how miserable it would have to be before they cashed it in. Because they look, it was a charity event. They were trying to raise money for four very, very deserving causes, and they raised $20 million. I believe Capital One seeded the pot by starting out with $10
million. Yes.
But then they raised another $10 on top of that, and I was thinking, obviously lightning would get them off the course, and I understood that.
Right.
But how hard would it have to rain before they'd say, you know what, this is just not going to get it done for us? And apparently, there is no amount.
Yeah, I don't think they were, and probably the nature of it, because it is charity and because, you know, you're trying to do something to help the country through a tough time, it's kind of hard to pull the plug because you're a little wet and it's getting a little rainy and your balls, I mean, whatever.
And
just
they
play
didn't complain
it.
About
nope.
it, by the way.
Nope.
I mean, it was, they didn't say anything. They didn't, oh, I can't hold my club, or, all those things you and I would say.
Right, or some of the cameramen. I bet you they were bitching under their breath a little bit. I would not have wanted to have been a cameraman, trying to keep my lens clean, trying to keep up, but keep out of the way. And they had, you know, I keep going back to it. I think the technical people, and I give Ryan Hannibal credit, that's one part of his column I agree with, the Turner people that put this together and all those people behind the scenes that are, you know, jogging alongside golf carts and trying to get the good shot without being in the frame. I thought they did a really good job.
It was fun. And that's the other thing. It was fun. Now, I could have watched
NASCAR.
Not to
Rich Keefe. He didn't watch it 1 minute, I bet. He is going to stick to his principles.
Not. I mean, if you were either going to Netflix, NASCAR, or charity golf.
Well, it was a nice day, too.
Well, that.
But that could hurt.
If you were inside watching TV, those were really the three options.
Because I watched a little bit of it and then recorded it and watched some more of it later. Because it was sneaky nice out. I don't know that I knew it was supposed to be as nice a day as it ended up being yesterday. So locally, some of the ratings might have been down a little bit, might have been DVR'd by some people because it was just flat out beautiful.
And I don't know all these TV ratings things, but as I understand it, if you did DVR it, but you watch it within 3 days, they get credit for it.
Oh, they got me then.
Yeah. Look, I wasn't sure when it started I was going to sit there, bell to whistle, but I did. And they had a bit of a rain delay, and it was like, oh, come on.
Right.
If we're gonna play, let's go. Let's get this thing rolling. And I understand the poor grounds crew was probably out there trying to squeegee off the greens and stuff. But I thought it was fun. And there was something to the aspect of, well, at least he looks like he's like I'm out there playing golf.
Right. Oh, yeah. What's that? Schadenfreude?
Somebody tweeted out at one point during the day, you know, Tom Brady's playing like all of us play. But he's doing it on national TV with Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson in his foursome.
Right. And I also gave him credit because, yeah, you know, when you look off the tee and you have those like little alleyways and you're like, I could never hit that. I'd kill somebody when the full gallery is out there. He had a couple times where, hey, guys, heads up. Hey, big fella, just so you know, heads up. And he was talking
not
like,
sure
I
where
can't.
This is going.
Right. And a couple times it was a good thing he did because he did spray it a little bit. But that's the things I think about. And I would be, however bad I am when it's just me and three friends, yeah, multiply that by 10 if I know, you know, people are in my ear talking, making fun of me, putting money on me, cameras are on me, millions of people are watching, tenfold, I'd be worse.
I did, and it happened to me once.
You killed somebody.
No. Thankfully, no. I was down at Willow Bend playing in a pro-am for Paul Fireman's charity down there, the owner of Reebok.
Yep.
And they paired up a pro golfer and a quote unquote local celebrity, and then the people who bought the foursome. It was in effect a six person group, and I was playing with Greg Norman, and it's intimidating. You know, you're thinking, first of all, I'm not that good a golfer anyway, but I'm out here standing next to watching Greg Norman hit it, and he couldn't have been nicer, couldn't have been more gracious with all of us. And I've played in a couple of these pro-ams, you know, with both LPGA and PGA pros, and they understand. You know, that's how they make their living.
Right.
They understand Tom Brady doesn't make a living doing that.
Well, that was when, remember when Barkley, somebody made a comment about, like, a great shot, and he's like, well, he should be. He's a professional golfer.
Yeah.
It's like if I watched somebody dunk right now, I wouldn't be that impressed if they were an NBA player, right? I mean, they are supposed to be better than everybody else. That's what they do for a living. And I do think if you are Peyton Manning, a couple holes in the way Brady is playing also takes the pressure off you. No matter what I do today, I'm not going to be the best quarterback golfer on this course. And that's how I am. I don't know about you, Dale, when you play, even if you know, you know, one guy in your group's really good, but then one of the other guys two holes in establishes himself as the worst guy in the group, you're like, okay. I'm middle of the road. It's fine. I'm not going to be the best, and I know I'm not going to be the worst, so I might as well just relax and hit the ball.
I got to play Pebble Beach one time. My friend and I
flew
out.
Jeez, humble brags left and right, and so humble, Dale.
I was with Greg Norman this one time
on the ninth tee.
So I got to play at Pebble. My friend and I were there, and the starter has complete control of the first tee. And you go up, and you hit. And I'm standing on the first tee at Pebble, and there are other groups waiting to hit, so there's lots of people around, and it's a little intimidating. And so I spray my first tee shot, and the starter just very quietly says, how about a breakfast ball, lefty? And yeah, it's like, thank you, sir. And you tee up another one, and then you hit it down the fairway, but I mean...
Or you go, how about a second one?
Yeah, I know. But that... It can be an intimidating game.
Yes. Even if no one's around, it's intimidating in your own head.
Yeah, that was me and my friend. There was no professionals right. around or anything, but you're thinking, I'm standing on the first tee at Pebble, and yes, I'm seeing ghosts.
And as I said, you add in the IFB and the microphones and maybe some issues there with static and falling off and can't hear and hearing when you don't want to be hearing Barkley make fun of you when maybe that's not actually supposed to be piped into your ear. It's just supposed to go out on the broadcast. And you don't want to look like a jerk, right, if he annoys you. You don't want to pull the tournament day Tiger and, you know, have to step away and, like, wait for quiet because some cameraman three holes away, click, 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 away. So... yeah, there was a lot there. It was entertaining. Like, I would never say it wasn't entertaining. Not sure it was quite to the grand stage that Ryan Hannibal put it on WEEI.com, but it was good. It was a good Memorial Day weekend fun. Raised $20 million. Anytime you raise $20 million, I don't care what you're doing or how you get there, you deserve a victory lap.
And good for them. And you know what? It entertained me for a few hours, more hours than I had planned to give it, to be honest with you.
Could it be a regular thing? And I don't mean with those guys. I mean,
no,
or if you did a series... you know, two professional golfers, two pro athletes, or two celebrities. Could you turn it into a regular thing?
Maybe. I mean, I'm not sure it would get quite the eyeballs on it if
right.
there was a normal complement of sports activities to watch on a Sunday afternoon. If you had baseball and NBA playoffs and Stanley Cup playoffs, I'm guessing that what they put on yesterday from down in Hobe Sound wouldn't have gotten many, many watchers.
But... it would also depend, I think, on the personalities, the star power. You know, if it becomes one of these, you know, masked singers, no disrespect to Gronk, but like C-list celebrities, okay, no one really cares. Now it's just two pro golfers and a couple Joes hitting the ball. But if you got high end, I mean, if you got LeBron James, if you always ensured that one of the guys golfing was A, a controversial personality, but B, you know, a theoretical GOAT in some aspect of life.
You had Michael Jordan and Danny Ainge
right.
recreating their golf match from the NBA playoffs when they were playing here, you know, between games. I mean, I would bet it would be fun just to listen to those two.
I think it would do as well as a Joe Average tournament would. PGA tournament, I'm talking about. Not the Masters, not the U.S. Open, but just some traditional, regularly scheduled tournament. I think these types of things would do well and probably better because I think you would draw in more casual fans who are Michael Jordan fans, basketball fans, sports fans. So it was interesting. I would consider it if I were the golf world. And if you can always raise money for good causes, there's the
See,
side
that's
benefit.
The thing. I mean, I don't think I would count on being able to raise, you know, $20 million very often.
Right. But if you can raise $5 million, is that worth
right.
it? Can you get up there? You know, and I'm not saying this becomes a weekly thing. I'm saying either yearly or maybe it's twice yearly. I don't know how you figure it out. I wouldn't go down the old... you know, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? Remember when they realized that show was good and it went from like once a month to once a week to once a night? Like then it was on, yeah. felt like it was on all the time. And you're like, okay, I'm sick of it. I liked it, but I'm sick of it. I wouldn't go down that route.
Yeah, if you did one a summer or two
yeah.
a summer or something. And depending on the star power of the non-professional golfers, maybe it would be fun. I'll say this. Yesterday was fun. More fun than I expected. And especially as poor as the play was for... you know, around here, the biggest star of the group. Now, I think it's our buddy Jerry Thornton who tweeted out earlier this morning that Tom Brady is now 0-1 without Belichick.
Yeah, that was it was Jerry Thornton. There were a lot of people taking a little victory lap there. There were a lot of the Belichick drinking orange juice memes of him just sitting back watching Brady struggle without him. I would also say, doesn't this now make him 0 for his last two against Peyton Manning, that Denver AFC title game? So. He who laughs last laughs best.
All right, we got a lot of stuff we're going to get to between now and 2 o'clock. We're going to talk some about Patriots who may be able to rise to the occasion, other Patriots who may falter in rising to the occasion. It looks as though the National Hockey League is one step closer towards reopening facilities and getting players back on the ice. We'll give you the details. Supposedly, it is a 29-page memorandum of agreement that's been
wow.
agreed to by the NHL and the NHLPA.
Much shorter than the baseball one. That was 67
yeah,
pages,
exactly.
right? Cut it in half.
But supposedly they've released this stuff to the players, and they're going to release it to the public here this morning, so we'll have the details of that. So a bunch of stuff we'll talk about. And because it's Memorial Day, and not that sporting events have any connection to what the real Memorial Day is about, but we like to think back and think fondly. And I was thinking, we'll see what your choices are about, you know, four of the most memorable sporting events in these parts over the last X number of years. And we'll see if our lists coincide at all. We'll do that later on as well. It's Dale and Keefe. Keefe is off this week. I think it's his final week of paternity leave, but to be honest, I'm not sure.
As you put it last week,
probably has another month left.
He's still taking advantage of the paternity leave offered by the company. I think you put it well, Dale.
And you wouldn't, right?
I didn't say that, Dale.
Oh, okay.
I'm just here on Memorial Day working hard, doing what I can for the ball, helping out the ball club any way I can, Dale.
That's why we're here, my friend. The other reason that I'm here is, quite honestly, I thought about this because, you know, it's a holiday. I could take the holiday, and where would I go and what would I do?
Fair point.
The backyard? What am I going to be able to do with that?
And it's a little drizzly and not even the nicest of days.
Not so much. 617-779-7937 is the telephone number. It's Dale and Keefe. Andy Hart, WEI.com is in the house, and it's time to trend.
The Greg Hill Show, morning 6 to 10. Now here's what's trending on WEEI.
It's 10:25. Here's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com. Tom Brady and Phil Mickelson lost to Peyton Manning and Tiger Woods yesterday in The Match, Champions for Charity. The event raised over $20 million for COVID-19 relief efforts. The NBA currently in discussions with Disney about resuming the season at ESPN Wide World of Sports in Orlando as a single site with a timeline of late July earmarked. University of Michigan President Mark Schlissel told the Wall Street Journal if there is no on-campus instruction, then there won't be intercollegiate athletics, at least for Michigan. Want the same internet but more privacy? DuckDuckGo's got you covered. They help millions of people like you enjoy privacy without trade-offs. With one download, you can search anonymously and block creepy trackers all for free. DuckDuckGo, privacy simplified. That's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Ready for more?
Dale and Keith on WEEI.
So we mentioned that the National Hockey League and the NHLPA sent out a 29-page protocol for Phase 2. This is just Phase 2, the opening of practice facilities and small group workouts. They have not put out the protocol for Phase 3, which is training camp, or Phase 4, which is the return to game action. A couple of highlights from the 29-page Phase 2 protocol. Pierre LeBrun has been tasked with reading through this and tweeting out some of the details. One of the things, and I'll give you some of the details here. Based on the current information available, we are now targeting a date in early June for a transition to Phase 2. However, it has not yet been determined when precisely Phase 2 will start or how long it may last. We are continuing to monitor developments in each of the club's markets and may adjust the overall timing if appropriate, following discussion with all relevant parties.
Who wrote this plan? Charlie Baker?
No, not yet. this one has details. We emphasize that player participation in Phase 2 is strictly voluntary. In addition, clubs are not permitted to require players to return to the club's home city so they can complete a quarantine requirement in time to participate in Phase 2. The agreement stipulates 6 players max in a practice facility at once. The on-ice sessions with players only, no coaches or other personnel are allowed on the ice. Players are not required to wear face coverings when they are exercising or on the ice. Face coverings, other than that, shall be worn at all times other than while exercising, when entering or leaving the club facility, and while inside the club facility where social distancing cannot be maintained. As an overriding principle, testing of asymptomatic players and club personnel must be done in the context of excess testing capacity so as not to deprive healthcare workers, vulnerable populations, and symptomatic individuals from necessary diagnostic tests. In short, says Pierre Lebrun, lots of guidelines and protocols regarding small group workouts at team facilities once Phase 2 officially begins sometime early June. Nothing in the document about training camp, which is Phase 3, or return to play, which is Phase 4. So what they're saying is this is all voluntary, and I think it may start as early as sometime next week. Groups of 6 max in the weight room, on the ice, and you know, these guys will begin to ramp it back up again for the beginning of training camp, which will likely be early July.
So this seems like a baby step. Is that, am I characterizing that properly?
It's in the right direction. I was going
to
say, A, it's the right direction, but B, aren't they the first sport that's actually got something out there about what they're going to do?
Yeah, well, yeah, for the most part. I mean, there was the, I believe the SEC announced voluntary return for athletes this week for football, which I kind of chuckled at because I'm not sure anything under Nick Saban's watch is voluntary, quote unquote. I also find it interesting, and this is something that the NFL has done as they've sort of phased in here, the lack of coaches. Coaches are not allowed to take part. Even strength coaches aren't really allowed to be there unless they're rehabbing somebody. They can't put true strength, which I find interesting. And I think some of that, I actually don't, explain that to me, Dale. What's the reasoning behind that?
I think it's the whole idea, at least in this phase, in the NHL's case, for instance. You know, this is a voluntary, get yourself ready to start training camp type of thing.
So this basically gives you some buddies to work out with.
Exactly. You know, because it's kind of hard to go out on the ice and practice solo by yourself. You know, you want to have somebody to pass to, or theoretically a goaltender to shoot at. You know, I don't know what they're going to have for goaltenders when they begin this whole thing. I just think they're trying to be fair. When the NFL opens its facilities, and we should stress that players who've been hurt have been able to come into the facility all along.
Right.
Gunnar Olszewski's, as I understand it, been going in and out of Foxborough all along.
Right.
You know, rehabbing from his injury and surgery and all that. But they just want to make sure that it's fair so that what you don't have is some hard-o coach somewhere saying, yeah, I'll tell you what voluntary means. It means you'll all be out on the ice at 10 o'clock.
Right.
And we're going. Let's go.
And then if some guy you're competing with, you know, for playing time or a job shows up with said hard-o coach, well, it's really no longer voluntary for me, because if I don't show up, there's a good chance that guy's passing me by either on the depth chart, the roster, the pay scale, however you want to term it, right? So you'd feel this pressure, even if you're not comfortable for whatever reason showing up, you'd have some professional pressure there. We already saw that in high school football. One of the premier high school football teams in Florida. They had, you know, like 8 national, state titles in the last whatever.
Yeah.
The coach was holding practices. Like, he was just having players. And, you know, when you're a high school kid,
there's nothing voluntary.
There
are coaches who will do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. If I'm not cheating, I'm not trying.
Right.
I mean, come on.
Right. And in high school, it's even worse because, I mean, you're 14 years old and you're on this, you know, powerhouse Florida program, which means you're producing NFL caliber players and the competition for playing time and these things in your own head. You know, when you're in high school football is the most important thing on the planet to you. So, yeah, it's not voluntary when this coach, this legendary coach, says we're going to, you know, if you want to come down to the ball field around 2 o'clock, it means you have to be there at 2 o'clock or you're falling behind. So, yeah, it's a weird world we live in. And these phases are going to get difficult to keep up with all the sports and the regular world, and, you know, which phase is the beach at today, which phase is the SEC football at, which phase is the NHL at.
a lot of work here, dude.
Now, here's what I don't know yet, and these are some of the things that we're learning as we go along. NBA facilities are reportedly able to be accessed by players for workouts now, you know, only individual workouts,
right,
one at a time type of thing, 45-minute time limit. Yeah, that sort of thing. Except our back center is not open yet because supposedly the local rules and regulations haven't allowed it, and we're still waiting. Like I saw Andrew Cuomo said yesterday, I guess, that he has now ordered that teams can begin returning to their training facilities.
Right.
In New York, they can.
Right.
But I don't think it's happened here yet.
Last I saw, Governor Baker said, oh, that decision goes through a different channel. Well, which channel is that?
Yeah, whose channel is it?
Which channel do I call? Which channel do I click on to get that information? Because it certainly seems like we are now becoming the slowest state behind California. They made, like, they were very early on saying, no, there would be no professional sports. Nothing was going to, and then all of a sudden they flipped their switch. And I know there are some people that believed it was, you know, pressure from the president, pressure financially, and now New York, which was as hard hit as anywhere, and certainly feels like in Massachusetts we're spinning our wheels a little bit, twiddling our thumbs.
This 29-page memo that the NHL and NHLPA put out, I think you will find the other sports, when you learn what their rules and regulations are officially, are going to echo, hey, listen, if you're asymptomatic, we're not taking tests away from people who need them. We're
right.
not taking them away from first responders and emergency medical personnel. You know, we'll get them as we're able to, which is smart on their part.
And very different than where we started in this whole thing. Remember when we were talking about
the Kings, the Sacramento Kings.
You know,
Rudy Gobert tests positive, and the next thing you know, 50 people in the organization are testing for coronavirus.
Right, and they were in Oklahoma. And remember we had the number like 50% of every test the state had at that time went to the players, the NBA, you know, some ridiculous allotment of a very limited number of coronavirus tests.
When none of them
tests.
Could practice or play anyway.
Right. So I think they're more aware of those types of things now, and as they should be, and as this continues to be on a grand scale, because that's all you hear. The one thing that seems to be consistent with all of these leagues or whatever it is, returning to work, returning to business, is testing, 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 right? The availability of testing. What do we do with testing? What if one guy tests positive? Are we testing everybody? That testing is at the forefront of the ability of all these people to go back to work and the industry to restart.
We mentioned this last week. Will Leach wrote a piece in which he, in effect, said, we shouldn't bring sports back. We shouldn't. There's much more important things going on. And I'm paraphrasing, but he said, look, I'm a sports fan. I like sports, too, but it's not important in the overall scheme of things. Now, my guess is the majority of people who listen to a radio station like ours are big sports fans, and they kind of want to have sports back to watch. They don't want to take resources away from, you know, the people who need them. But if you can get something to watch on a Sunday afternoon that doesn't involve Tom Brady spraying the ball left and right, I'd just soon watch it. And
plus,
I think our audience wants it back.
And sports is an industry that trickles down into a lot of other aspects of the economy, right? You can think of sports as just your
Although
entertainment.
Less than you expect now, because you're not going to have fans, you're not going to have ushers, you're not going to have ticket takers, you're not going to have concessionaires.
Right. But you'll still have broadcasts, right? And within those stations, whether
yep.
it's NESN or WEEI or whoever, there's broadcast, then there's ad revenue, then, like, there is a trickle-down effect. And then, you know, there's the small stuff, but we're at a spot in the economy where I think the small stuff can matter. Like, you know, if kids start ordering a few more jerseys on Fanatics, right, because they're watching, you know, some game and somebody has a hat trick in the third round of whatever the new-look playoffs look like, maybe there's an impetus to order some jerseys. You know, you got to seed the economy somehow, and there's already limitations in some of the local economies that you're going to see, whether
that's what I meant. The local economy
right.
isn't going to benefit.
But the national economy could on some level. And
yeah.
I think the more you can, you know, I said this sounds like a baby step in the right direction for the NHL. I'll take baby steps in the economy, too. You know, I know everybody wants restaurants open and everybody back to work and offices not limited and but the reality is start the process. Take, you know, you got to walk before you can run, Dale. How about we walk a little bit and as many things as you can get open, get them open. As many things as you can get returning to normal. If you can get, you know, I listened to somebody from the Actors Guild or something that oversees sort of Hollywood projects, TV projects in Boston, and they're still waiting. Like all these projects that we're working here, they're committing to coming. We'll get some of those back if you can. Now, does that matter? Is that as important as teachers and nurses and doctors? And nope, it isn't.
But is it a step in the right direction? Is it a drop in the bucket, whatever you want to call it? Yes. So the more of these things, don't just look at sports as, yeah, I like to watch it on Sunday or Saturday night or Tuesday night. Look at it as, oh, the guy down the street works for WEEI and the other guy works for Nesson and he got to go back to work. He runs a camera or he runs this or the ad guy gets to start selling ads again for those stations. That's a step in the right direction, in my opinion.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Text line is 37937. Andy Hart, WEEI.com, is in the house. At some point today, Hart may have something to say about teachers, because you mentioned them.
Nobody in particular?
No, I said teachers.
Okay, just make sure, deal.
Yeah, you did mention teachers. Keep this general. In our early morning conversation.
Not a specific teacher I get an email from at all.
No, not that particular person at all. That may come up before the day is out as well. It's Dale and Keefe with Andy Hart, Sports Radio, WEEI.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
He's so dapper, he carries a mirror in his pocket.
It ain't for Coke.
Now back to Dale and Keefe on WEEI.
And I think when you think of glass half full kinds of people, you think of, born optimists and guys who always see the sun shining. You think of Andy Hart. Come on, it's my big build up here. So on WEEI.com, there is a piece by Andy Hart written a couple of days ago. The headline is, Here Are 9 Patriots Who Should Be Better in 2020. And at the paragraph just before the listing of the players, written by one Andy Hart, says, Here's an optimistic look at that group of Patriots whose contributions and play should be penciled in to improve in the new season of this new era in New England. Now, some of them, I'll say, are, God, they better be better next year than they were this year, or you're in a heap of trouble. But you've got a list of players who you think realistically should be better this year than they were last year.
Yes, and I ranked them sort of in the order that I think there's some importance, there's value. And I went number one with N'Keal Harry, Dale, or is that
you're
one?
You're banking everything that N'Keal Healthy is Harry?
Now I'm interrupting myself with my own screw-ups. Jimmy Joseph. Dale, N'Keal Harry, will he be better this year?
Yes.
Should he be better?
Yes.
Would it be possible for him to be not better?
No.
Okay. So that's where we start off. Year two jump, whether he's more comfortable with Tom Brady, whether he's simply healthy and goes through training camp the preseason and plays a season, he should be better in some form or fashion. I am far from, and you know this, Dale, because you were the first person to ever get a reaction out of Andy Hart in regards
to
N'Keal Harry.
First day of training camp.
I'm not
you
the...
You turned on him within seconds.
See, you say that in a way that paints it as like a personal thing, not so much a observational thing, right? Are we not
his first pass pattern, you went, he sucks.
I wish I could argue with you.
you literally said, he sucks.
Was I wrong?
Well, yeah, sucks is a little over dramatic.
If all you get is what you got from him last year, those types of every once in a while he has a play where he catches it and runs 3 yards and dives for a pylon, and you're like, oh, he's got a little physical ability. If that's all you ever get from a first-round wide receiver, then he sucks.
Yeah, then you're in trouble.
Right? And I'm not willing to say he's going to now be competitive with the, Browns and Metcalfs and Samuels and all these second-year receivers who are coming off good years. And I think a lot of teams are penciling those types of guys in for 1,000-yard seasons and, be impact players. But he's got to be better, right? He's got to be a little bit better.
Yeah, no, I agree with you.
How about number two on the list? I see a theme here, and it seems to be the weapons Tom Brady had a year ago. This is the opposite end of the spectrum. This is not your young, healthy Harry or Harry healthy. This is Mohamed Sanu.
Well, I'll say this. If he's healthy, you'd think there'd be an improvement. But the idea, as you point out, he had ugly drops. I don't know that that's necessarily going to be better.
It didn't hurt his hands. It was an ankle injury.
Exactly.
So, when he's just over the...
His hands were a long ways from his injured body part.
Right. And multiple times, he was just over the yard marker for a key third down conversion. I want to say there was a fourth down conversion in there. That it just bounced off his hands. Went through his hands. You know, you did the hard part. You got open and Tom Brady threw you the ball and he hit you in the hands and you dropped it. I would also argue that he's not getting any younger, right? This is a guy that's been around.
He's had off-season surgery.
Who knows? And a weird off-season. So even if you wanted to give him that benefit of the doubt, oh, he arrived mid-year and it's a hard offense to learn. And, well, he's not having a real off-season because, A, he's hurt, and, B, it's all Zoom classes and team meetings on your computer. And he also doesn't have the luxury of Julio Jones or A.J. Green, you know, that real marquee, true number one outside receiver on the other side of the ball. So I want to be optimistic on Sanu. Deep down in places I don't talk about at parties, I'm trying to be optimistic about Sanu, but I'm not there. I'm optimistic about Sanu. Shime, are you optimistic? Shime just made a face.
I'm not.
Shime?
No, I was making fun of you saying optimistic.
You, hey, we all screw up here.
Okay, Wiggy.
You only have to talk for like 0.1% of every show.
And I still screw up.
There's only two of us here. I'm carrying the Keef load, the Hart load. Jeez.
A lot of loads.
Easy now. Third on the list, and this is one that I'm not even sure if you polled Patriots fans, they would even know who he is.
Well, they know the name. They don't quite understand why he didn't even dress for 14 games last year.
Third round running back, Damian Harris, Alabama. Multiple 1,000-yard seasons for pretty much the closest thing in college football you can get to an NFL team.
All right, so here's the question I have. You draft him out of Alabama. This guy, you know, is a 2-time 1,000-yard rusher at Alabama. All of that stuff.
Yep.
You're Bill Belichick and Josh McDaniels. It is in your best interest to play a guy who's going to make your team better. And 14 times last year, they said, no, we're not even putting him in a uniform.
Well, you know, Dale, the one sort of factual, circumstantial theory I have is the simple. You had a pretty deep running back crop. You had an obvious second-year postseason hero running back, first-round pick in Sony Michel. And Damian Harris, you know, doesn't really play special teams. He's not a pass catcher. He's really just sort of the backup running back, the backup workhorse running back. He wasn't active for those, you know, roster breakdown type reasons when you start to just piece together the game day roster.
His rookie season, he had 4 carries.
Yeah.
And he wasn't hurt.
And I don't think he was going to get those. Those actually came with Sony Michel getting nicked up at the end of a ball game. I'm not even sure. He may have gone a rookie season without carrying the ball. And
again, not hurt.
Nope.
He didn't carry because he was injured.
Nope.
And oh, by the way, you don't get to bank your red shirt season and tack it on at the end of your career.
Nope. And now the other side, I firmly believe, is if Bill Belichick inserts Damian Harris, you know, week 7 last year, just pick some random week. Okay, Sony just hasn't really been good. Offense needs a spark. We're scuffling here. What happens to Sony Michel, who you're essentially benching? You're benching your first-round running back a little more than a year into his NFL career. Well, what is that? You know, what does that do? What does that say? How is that looked at?
Although we've always thought that they are rather dispassionate about this stuff, and that, you know what, if this guy's better, he's playing, period.
Yeah, but it's not always that way. Even here, I think there's some form of Sony Michel. I think Bill really likes Sony Michel. I don't know if you remember, there were individual weeks last year where Bill would say, you know, maybe if we blocked it a little better, we'd get a little more out of the running game. Like, he really put it on the offensive line in a way that isn't too frequent, the way he analyzes his team and really throws position groups, not under the bus, but is maybe a little more honest than we're used to. So I think that's, you know, maybe a controversial pick that he's hitching his wagon to a little bit, that he still wants to prove was the right pick and the right player. But I got to think Damian Harris gets his chance this year. And, Dale, who has more yards this year, Damian Harris or Sony Michel?
Sony Michel.
I'm taking Damian Harris.
Wow.
Because I'm going to say Sony Michel, A, misses time.
And you're basing that on?
I think he misses time to injury. The guy, he's got old knees. There's a knee injury waiting to happen. That's not a shot. That's just the reality. And I'm not that impressed with him. I don't think he maximizes runs. And in his third season, now you're starting to go down the road as a first-round pick of figuring out what he is long-term. Is this a guy we use a fifth-year option on? Is this a guy that's in? Or is Damian Harris a cheaper alternative that I want to get, you know, the good? when you draft a running back, the good years are the early years when they're cheap under contract, mid-round pick. If you waste two years of
beat all to
right,
death.
But if you waste 2 years of Damian Harris and then in year three decide, okay, you know what, he's better than Sony Amendola. Well, what if he is? What if he goes out in year three and has, you know, 1,100 yards? Well, now he's going to be a really good running back for somebody else who's going to pay him in a year. So I think Damian Harris has to get his chance sometime this year, and Damian Harris will outrush, not Phony Michelle, as my Saturday partner likes to call him, Sony Michelle.
All right, there are three players there who Andy Hart says will be better this year than they were last year. That means there are six yet to come on his list. We'll get to those when we come back. Oh, you got a couple of bonuses in there.
Yeah,
as well, so we may
I give you more than you expect. When you come to an Andy Hart story on WEEI.com, you're getting more than you expect, even Fast Friday Fast.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. It's Dale and Keefe. Andy Hart's in. Rich is off for this week here on Sports Radio WEEI.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.